there's a treasure at the end of this narrow road I'm traveling. It gives me a purpose in my life, and Jesus is my treasure. He's the reason that I'm living, and he'll still be the reason when I die. 'Cause there's a treasure at the end of this narrow road I'm traveling. It gives me a purpose in my life, and Jesus is my treasure. He's the reason that I'm living, and he'll still be the reason when I die. Amen. Amen. He is my treasure. Last week we talked about the fishing net, and I kind of touched on that whole treasure and pearl of great price thing. Well, I got stuck there. Remember what we're talking about for the last few weeks is revisiting the familiar. Well, I almost passed it by again, because let's find something else familiar, right? Rock and roll, here we go. The kingdom of heaven. Now remember, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven, every time he explained a parable, always the kingdom of heaven was the Son of Man, which is what he called himself. So always put in your mind, when the word says the kingdom of heaven, it means Jesus. And if you'll actually look at the original language of kingdom and of what heaven is, kingdom is basilia, which is a kingdom. And then heaven, that the word heaven is talks about the power of that kingdom. So basically the power from heaven, which that would be Jesus anyway, right? But he even very specifically says the kingdom of heaven. When he said the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer, then when he explained it to the guys, he said the farmer is the Son of Man, which he's talking about himself. So every time you see the kingdom of heaven, you can put the word Jesus in there. Just want to help you out here. So the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. So what is it? Jesus is like a treasure. Yes, he is. That a man discovered hidden in a field, and in his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. And then Jesus said again, the kingdom of heaven, or Jesus, is like a merchant and on the lookout for choice pearls. And when he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and he bought it. So I want you to see the two differences. Jesus is my treasure, the very reason that I'm living, and he'll still be the reason when I die. That's what I just sang. But the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is like a merchant that's going after the pearl. See, last week, again, we touched on this. Today, we want to revisit this. So I told you last week, we are the pearl, and that Jesus is the merchant. So it's not the sinner that is seeking Jesus. It's Jesus that is seeking the sinner. In fact, the more I get to know him and I understand him and I receive his love and his mercy, it amazes me that people don't want him. You know what I'm saying? It really does amaze me, because he's not out to judge you. He's out to love you. And it's very clear in the scripture. So let's look at the scripture here, this next one. Jesus responded. By the way, Jesus, what was Jesus responding to? This is that old story of Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus, a little man? We know the little song from back in Sunday school days, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Anyway, he was a little guy, tax collector. Everybody hated him. Everybody hated him because he was a tax collector. We hate the IRS because they're tax collectors. Everybody hated him because not only did he steal from them, or not only did he get legal taxes from them, he had the authority through the Roman government, and he was Jewish. He had the authority through the Roman government to do whatever he wanted, so he could take whatever he wanted. If he didn't like you, he could say, I need that wheel on that cart, and you're going to have to go with three wheels as he takes one wheel off. Seriously. So they didn't like him. So he, again, because he was a little guy, he was trying to see this Jesus guy, and he couldn't see over. So he climbed up into a tree so that he could see Jesus, and Jesus was walking by, and Jesus looked up and said his name, Zacchaeus, I need you to come down because I'm going to have dinner with you today. Well, he freaked out. He comes down. Of course, the church is mad because Jesus is going to go eat with them. But that doesn't matter what the church is mad. They're not, because it was Jesus. And so Jesus, he comes down, and Zacchaeus takes him to his house, and he's excited. And then he proclaims to Jesus, I will sell half of what I got. At least he's honest, right? I'll sell half of what I got, man, and give it to the poor. And then he said, watch this. Then he said, I will, if I've cheated somebody, which means he had, because he wouldn't have brought it up. You get it. If I cheated somebody, I'm going to give him four times as much. So that's when Jesus said this. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. Why did he say that? Because Zacchaeus was actually going to walk out a love principle. You get it? So salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. How did he show it? It wasn't from quoting the Bible. It wasn't. You know what? How did he show it? He showed it because he said, man, I've been a jerk. I'm not going to be a jerk no more. Wow. So, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save. Sozo. This is one of my favorite Greek words, the word sozo. He came to save and to seek and to save those who are lost. The word apolemi means totally destroyed. The word sozo means complete and total wholeness. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, you remember the story of the woman that had the issue of blood for, you know, she'd been sick for 11 years or whatever it was, 18 years or whatever it was. And she said, I know if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made sozo. So it wasn't just about her physical healing. She wanted that total. And that's the cool thing about Jesus, man. He's not just going to heal your body. He's going to heal your body so your mind will rot. He's not going to heal your mind so your body will rot. You get it? This salvation thing, sozo thing, is all about complete and total wholeness of all of us, of every ounce of us. And some of us have big more ounces than others. So, I told you that's the word sozo means. So, I want to hone in now on the merchant, which was obviously Jesus. Here's what I want you to recognize. Can you go back to the first scripture? This is cool. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered. This man was in a field, and he just tripped over and discovered this treasure. I mean, it might have been sticking out of the ground. Maybe but he wasn't looking for it, is what I'm saying. He discovered it. As opposed to the merchant. What does the merchant do? Oh, man, the merchant's on the lookout for choice pearls. See, the merchant is seeking to find the pearl. The man is just kind of luckily stumbled. I feel like that with Jesus sometimes. I just finally stumbled onto who he really was instead of listening to what I was told he was. Seriously, man. My whole life I was told who he was and basically how mean he was if I didn't line up to the things that he wanted me to do. And I never finally just stumbled onto the fact that this guy loves me. And it took me going through some serious drug addiction and just some serious life circumstances to get to the point to where I finally, you know, I was raised in church and I finally just said, hey, man, if you're real, I need help. And I don't even know what help I need. I don't even know what I needed. You get what I'm saying? I'm not, you can't read a book to find out what you need when you're hurting inside. I was just like, help, 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 help. If you're real, and I meant it, if you're real, dude, I need help. And there he was wanting to hold me the whole time. I thought he was wanting to punish me. Didn't have a clue. So I get it now, and I'm happy about it. I'm so happy, 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 happy. So, again, the man stumbled onto the treasure. The merchant pursued it. You've heard me say this scripture that we're going to share right here a million times. Let's look at it. This is important scripture. You need to get it. You really need to get it. Sorry. You should have a scripture that, oh, you know what? I did. I switched some stuff. My bad. Go to John. Go to the next one and then the next one. And then the next one. And then the next one. Never mind. Just back up where you were. Let me tell you what I did to you guys, and I apologize, and I just realized I did it. What happens is when I do my message, normally on Fridays, I send them the word. Well, last night, as I'm reading through my word, I thought, man, that doesn't fit there. I need to move that to here. Well, they didn't know that. So if you guys can't ADD with me, I don't know what we're going to do. I'll just read it, and then when it comes up there, you'll get to see it again. The point I was making is where the guy stumbled, but the merchant was seeking out is this. John 15:16 says, You didn't choose me. I chose you. This is Jesus speaking. You didn't pick me. I picked you. You get it? You didn't pick me. You want to say, no. You didn't pick me. I picked you. You stumbled onto me, baby. I was seeking you. Do you get it? This is how crazy His love is for us. And this is, if we could really get this in our system and understand, holy smoke, it changes your whole life. It will change your whole life. And you'll start doing things properly that you've been told to do properly your whole life, but you'll be doing it out of a love relationship instead of out of some kind of silly demand. It's so true. He's so good. So you didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce works. No, He said, go and produce. Oh, He found it. It's up. Thank you. Wherever it was, I apologize again. I say He, and that's actually Shannon, isn't it? Shannon, I've been calling you He for, I'm sorry. Well, no, whatever. We won't even go there. Pay attention here. I appointed you to go and produce. Produce fruit. Produce. Go to the produce department. Produce. Produce. What does that mean? That means, well, just going to Galatians chapter 5, where the Holy Spirit says, you'll grow the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and temperance, and well, it does say temperance, all these wonderful are produced in us. But look, He says, so go and produce these fruits so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for. Man, I got people all the time, I'm going to blab it and grab it, I'm going to believe it and receive it, and if I doubt it, I'll do without it. And, we've got all these principles that are out there. It's not about principles. Man, let fruit grow from you, and everything's going to happen in your life. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and your whole life will fall into place. It's really that simple, but yet so hard, because we want to try to help God. But look how this works. So I'll give you whatever you ask for. He says, just produce this fruit that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name, Jesus said. And He says, and this is, you want a command from Him? Here it is. Love each other. That's His command. That's His hammer. That I was hammered with the law my whole life. But His hammer is love people. Wow. That's the really hard part, isn't it? Let's be honest here. See. Okay, let me see where I'm at here. So, I want you to notice that seeking pearls was the merchant's job, not his hobby. Do you get it? Jesus just isn't there for you in the bad times. He's there for you in the good times. And I said that backwards on purpose, because what happens is people will get to where they're really desperate in their life and they're like, oh man, and they start blaming themselves because I'm not in church. So then they come back to church, and I've had it happen 100 times, even here. They come back to church and they tell me, man, I'm so glad to be back. And I'm like, please stay with the good times. Stay when it gets good, because it's when it gets good and when your life is rolling good that you can really start gaining and learning and walking in this whole wonderful principle of His love for you. Listen, man, you will never love those people that He commands you to love if you can't receive the love that He gives you. You are the pearl of great price, and you ain't got nothing in you can pay for. You don't have, here, I'm almost there. Let me stand right here on here. I don't want to get ahead of myself nor behind myself, and the Cowboys don't start till 3, so I'm good on time. So, seeking the pearls was it. Okay, here's the greatest example. You ever watch this is one of my wife and my mom's favorite shows, Antique Roadshow? Ever watch that? Is that not crazy? Do you really like, and really the only reason we like it is because we like to see stupid people find out real information of how valuable stuff is. Do you get what I mean? Not stupid people, but it's really cool, isn't it? Because you have this professional guy who knows this, and you have this the best one that I remember seeing, and she probably could do better ones because her and my mom watch it. But I remember this guy had this cabinet that his TV sat on, and so he was just saying, well, yeah, I just took the TV off and brought it up here, and thought maybe it was worth something. The guy just points out all these wonderful things about the value of it. And the guy goes, at auction, at the least end, you would get $300,000. Holy smoke, I'm screaming at the TV, sell it! Sell it! Go to IKEA, get you some, sell it! But see, the merchant knew the value. But the guy that had, we don't see our value. It's the merchant that sees our value. Ken sent me a, what's that kid's name? That video you sent me of that kid that sings and is funny. Mark Lowry. He sent me this video of Mark Lowry. He always sends me stuff because he's trying to get me to love his kind of music. I ain't doing it. Actually, you know what? Just a side note. I can praise the Lord to zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. I'm not playing. I can praise him with whatever challenge of movie. Anyway, he sent me this video of him, of Mark speaking. And one of the, he said something, in my opinion, is powerful. He talks about the potter and the clay. And he says, the clay cannot determine the value of the clay. It's the potter. Because it really is true. And so, back to the subject at hand, it's the merchant that sees the value. It's the antique road dealer that knows everything. He sees the value. So when other pieces of pottery or other pearls of great price try to tell you you're any less than what you are, you're listening to the wrong evaluator. Do you hear me? Because he values you as something crazy precious. I always tear up here because that means he values me the same way. See, I understand how bad I am. And I've told you so many times, and it's so true, half of the gospel is how bad we are. Because till we get how bad we are, we're never going to get how good he is. Until we recognize we need a Savior, we're not going to have a Savior. We're going to use him as our piggy bank or whatever. Do you get it? But when you understand the depth of the love that he has for you, there is something extremely humbling in that, especially when you know how bad you really are. So I said all that, and I'm kind of on the same point in my brain anyway. So he values us, or he wouldn't see. I chose you. Well, if he chose me, that means he wanted me. Do you get it? He wants you. He desires you. He's not the hammer to kill you. That would be the enemy. Because the enemy is the only one who wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy your life. But you have the power of this love guy who crazy loves you. So here's what I want you to know. We can't buy him. And this is where I might have flipped. I'm going to Isaiah 64. We can't buy him. Wait, back up. Go to the 2 Corinthians 8:9. You got that? Sorry. Perfect. He values us or he wouldn't seek us. Look at this. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. Holy smoke, was he rich? He owned it all. Everything, man. Come on. Though he was rich, yet for your sake, for us, he became poor, so that by his poverty, we could be made rich. He's all that he didn't have to make us, man. He was doing fine in heaven. You get it? But yet, because he decided to just come down to this earth, get stuck in a human body forever, so that we could be made rich. And that rich incorporates prosperity, but is only touched. Listen, go out, win the lottery, $100 million, and then turn around and get hit by a car. Do you get what I'm saying? Man, that wears me out, you know. And then there's a side of you that goes, you know, God, if you did win the lottery, it's like, are you going to keep me alive to spend it? You know, it was like Howard, what was his name? Howard Hughes, the real rich guy. Dude, you know that dude died of malnutrition because he thought people were trying to poison his food all the time? Holy smoke, has all the money in the world, could have any Whataburger he wanted. And died of starvation because of his crazy fronial thinking. So, now I can get to the point, next point. We cannot buy him because we have no bargaining chip. Isaiah, here it comes. I hope. Yes, we are all infected. Do you get it? I'm infected. We are all infected, and we're impure with sin. We are. I'm a terrible, horrible. And that's a torrible. I'm a torrible sinner. I text my son. I'm just rabbit trailing, don't care. I text my son a couple of days ago, and it was talking about some some Halloween stuff, the shirts that we got, and he said he thought that we got the same shirts that were identical. So I meant to text him, then you won't have to wash them. But I text him with, I didn't put then, I put the, and I didn't put wash, I put was. So I text him, the you would was them. And then he texts me back and he goes, I've read this 20 times. What? And then I text him back and said, then instead of the, wash instead of was, I wish I could blame autocorrect. But then I told him, this is true, I told him, I said, man, read it out, because I did, and I was crying. I said, read it out loud 5 times in a row, and I'm Cajun. It was great. Totally not my nose, but I don't care. I'm not even going to look at my wife, because she loves it when I rabbit trail. So we're all infected, we're impure with our sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they're nothing but filthy rags. Stop. Stop trying to be righteous. You're not righteous. You can't be righteous. There's no way you're righteous. But the Word says, 1 Corinthians 15:56, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Woo! That's where I'm righteous, in Christ. Yes, outside of Christ, I can fake it. I can act like it. I'm not, listen, it's the whole principle of where he's going to transform our mind, where he says with the word metamorpho in the original language, which is where we get the word metamorphosis from, you know, going from the worm to the butterfly. We got to stop trying to be a worm and putting on wings and acting like we can fly when we can't. Man, go through transformation where you believe and you receive what Jesus is and who he is in your life. And even if somebody ripped your beautiful wings off, you'll still be the butterfly because you can never be a worm again. That's what transformation is. Wow, it's so good. He is so good, and I am so not, and I'm all right with it. Man, you just sound like you're I am. I'm terrible. I'm a horrible person, but you know what? I'm not in him. And I've learned pretty much to stay in him. Sometimes I've had a bad day. I'm like, I need to go to bed at 4 o'clock so I can get to sleep so I'm not doing nothing stupid. You get it? I look what I picked. I really like you get it. You're the only one in this whole place, Johnny, that understands it. But you get it because you're wearing 21. Who's that? Oh, dude, wasn't that? No, 22 was. I was thinking of Emmett. Man, he's been starving us here lately. Sorry, that's a whole different. This is church. That's it. Yeah, that's where we get to be not loving, right? Huh? So look at this. This is true, man. Our fake, when we display our righteous deeds, they're nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins have swept us away like the wind. We are that. That's who I am. I get it. And it used to keep me down, but it doesn't keep me down now. Because of the next scripture. Look at this scripture coming up here. Look at this. Though he was God, Jesus talking about, he didn't think equality with God was something to cling to. Good night. Why didn't he? Why didn't he just stay there and not mess with us ugly people? He said instead he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and he died a criminal's death on a cross that he did not have to do. He's the one who purchased us. But let me tell you something. There's something difference between a purchase and a sacrifice. Purchase is something you pay for that has value. A sacrifice, you ain't expecting nothing in return. You get it. Something sacrificed. Let me do it the way. Purchase is acquiring an object of equivalent value. Sacrifice is giving where no payment is expected or received. It's everything I've told you every time I use the illustration. And I'll just use it quickly here, that my illustration of my Nolan Ryan card. I got my Nolan Ryan card, and they tell me it's worth $1,000. I put it on eBay and sell it for $200. What's it worth? $200, right? Is that fair? Fair's fair? Okay, but here's what's so cool. So the only way to determine the value of something is how much someone's willing to pay for it. He bankrupted heaven. He bankrupted heaven for me. That's my value. That's why I've said it. You can't hurt my feelings no more. Because I know I'm not what you expect me to be, but I'm everything he... I'm everything to him. Oh, that's hard to believe. But it's true. So, let me stay. Okay. I want to get to the pearl, and then I'll leave you all alone. Back in the day, I want you to understand the pearl's value, especially back in those days. Nowadays, I think girls don't say pearls are a girl's best friend, right? Diamonds are a girl's best friend, right? You know, and so that's where the world's value is. But back in those church world, and that's why I want to share with this, Egyptians and Romans actually worshiped the pearl. Women who wanted to show their wealth would wear pearls in their hair. The Roman emperor, to show how rich he was, would dissolve pearls in wine. If you put pearls in wine, they dissolve. And they would do that, kind of like the millionaire lights the $100 bill to light a cigar in America, if you will. That's how they would show that how rich they were. The Greeks believed that wearing pearls would prevent newlywed women from crying. So listen, if you're getting married, get some pearls, girls. Keep you from crying, saying, I made a horrible mistake. And this is really cool, too. Pearl hunting was dangerous, and a lot of guys diving for pearls died. Because what they would do, this is truth, they would tie a rope around their neck or their body and then tie it to a big old rock, and then they would throw it into the ocean, and it would take them down about 40 feet, and then they would have to search the floor bed to find an oyster. Now, here, listen to this. And only 1 in 1,000 actually have a pearl in it. But they would do that, and that's why some of them would die, because they would get caught up. But they would do that because of the value of what this pearl was. So picture that in your mind. The pearl of great price, me, I'm buried down in the water, as David wrote this in Psalms. I just love the word. Then at your command, O Lord, at the blast of your breath, the bottom of the sea could be seen, and the foundations of the earth were laid bare. And he reached down from heaven and rescued me, and he drew me out of deep waters. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The pearl of great price. Just doesn't sit well, does it? So, I got a lot of, I told you I just kind of sit there, and I just got a lot from this week, so sorry. It gets to me a little bit. There's a reason he chose a pearl and not a diamond, a ruby, or a sapphire. The pearl is the only gem that's not hand-cut by man. The pearl is buried into life. It's all other jewels have to be cut and polished to bring out their value, but not the pearl. Look at this scripture. Corinthians, I think I'm in order now. Clearly, Paul wrote to the church of the Corinthians, you are a letter from Christ. Wow, that's pretty powerful right there, right? If I'm a letter from Christ, what does my letter say? You are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It's carved not on tablets of stone, he was making a point here, not on the law, but on human hearts. This pearls are sent, watch this, this is good too. Pearls are sensitive to chemicals. Not just alcohol, but cosmetics. Hold up before you say, oh my God, he's going to preach the hardline stuff. No, 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 no. What I'm saying is, I just got a fresh thing. No matter what stage of erosion you might be at or dissolved at, you're still a pearl. You get it? I don't care what chemical influences have been in your life. I don't really care how much makeup you wear. And my granddad did. He was a preacher. And he used to preach it, man. When that Holy Spirit get inside of you, he'd say. Even though the Word tells us the Holy Spirit's in us. But he'd say it. And I loved him to death, by the way. He scared me to death, but I loved him to death. And he'd say, when that Holy Spirit get inside of you, it's going to be just like being inside of an old painted red barn. Says that fire will start burning on the inside, and the first thing that peels off on the outside is that paint. Ooh, and then he'd shouting down, them girls would take their makeup off, but then church got kind of mad about that because women started getting ugly. So we said, go ahead and put the makeup back on. Isn't it funny, fellas? You know, it's what's so funny, too. I don't know. I have Facebook friends that are my same age that I remember as being as young as I was. And what's so funny is their wives are still real pretty, and they're just ugly goats. But the truth is, it's because y'all get to wear stuff, and we don't. We're just stuck with who we are. We're just stuck with ugly, us guys are. We don't get to put the makeup on and put the wigs on and, you know, do the Mr. Potato Head thing. You know, we just, he said, ooh, you know, and they say it all the time. Man, you gay sure looks good. And I'm like, okay, well, where's that compliment for me? He's like, well, you know, Steve, you don't sweat much for a fat guy. Yeah, okay, thank you. I love you too. So anyway, that's why guys are ugly and women aren't. So I'm on the pearl. I got it. Get back on point, Steve. I get it. And you know what? The pearl is the... this is so good. The pearl is the only gem that is formed in a living creature. See, jewels are buried in the earth, but the pearls are made in life by an oyster. Pearls are the result of the biological process, not the ecological process. Big words, let me explain. Let me put it this way. Pearls are the result of a birthing process as opposed to an environmental process. The diamonds and all those are from an environmental process. In other words, they're buried in the earth. They're in a chunk of coal. And this is true of our lives, and you know, because we are diamonds as well. But you know, and we're at different levels of it. And diamonds are made by pressure. There's a whole lot of good stuff in all this. But the point today is we're talking about the pearl. The pearl is birthed from a living process. Look at this scripture here. I love the Word. So you were cleansed, Peter writes. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed. Hupakaae is a great word because it means the word obeyed. Because when we think of obedience, we have a different understanding than what the original language is. And I'm not lightening up. This is actually more difficult than obeying by command. This means that you observe the requirements of what is in for Christianity, that you observe the requirements of what Jesus expects, of what God expects, that you observe the fact that Jesus did die on the cross for you, that you observe that God did love the world so much that he gave his son, that you observe that Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it, and my fulfilling of it's going to be making the law harder than it already is, because that's exactly what he started teaching right after that. Because he wanted us to see, because the Word's very clear, as you read through Hebrews and study it out, Hebrews and Romans and those areas, you're going to understand that the law was given so that we could see how ugly we are. It was given as a mirror so that mankind could see that we do need a Savior. Again, that's half the gospel. We need a Savior, so that's why the law was put into place. So he said, so the requirements that you obey is that you understand that the truth of Christianity, because look, let's read it in context. Cleanse from your sins when you obey, when you believe the truth of what Jesus did. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Listen, that's it. Do you get it? If you could do that, you want to be this great Christian, and there it is right there. You believe the truth of what Jesus is, and then when you believe that truth, you're going to show sincere love to each other because you're going to receive sincere love from him, knowing how bad you are and how great he is. I'm telling you, I don't want to say that. Steve, stop. Wow, my brain's something today's wrong with my brain. I think it's the weather. I blame the weather. Everybody blame the weather. They're saying it's bringing in new kind of dust bunnies for our nose. I'll just blame it that. I'll blame it for my brain. Verse 23, for you've been born again. but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life's going to last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. So you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed, when you believed the truth. You will never be, listen, you won't ever be clean of your sin unless you believe that Jesus took care of your sin on the cross. It ain't going to happen. You will never do it. Does that mean you're going to stop sinning? Does that mean not? Listen, we overcome sin by the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony. The blood of the Lamb was shed. The body was shed so that we could receive our healing. The blood of the Lamb was shed for our remission of sin, our total remission of sin, our complete remission of sin. Back in the Old Testament, they put blood on the Ark of the Covenant and on the mercy seat, and our sins were covered, and it worked for one time a year. But then when Jesus came, before He even died, John looked at Him and said, "Behold, the one who comes to take away the sin of the world." Jesus took it away. We don't cover it no more. That's why it says as far as the east is from the west, not the north from the south. Because if you go north, you're going to end up going south again, John. If you go east, you're going to always be going east. If you go west, that's as far as the north. No, as far as the east is from the west, your sins are. Do you think that Bible's accident and stuff like that? Give me a break here. Okay, I'm on my last page. I say that, am I? I really am. I'm on my last page. So here's what you need to understand, though. This is greatness. It's really cool that there's a pearl in an oyster, but it's not cool for the oyster. Okay, because what happens is a grain of sand or some kind of irritant enters into the oyster, and it feels like a splinter. So what he has is this stuff called nucre. Nucre is what his shell's made out of, and that shell can be beautiful sometimes. So what he starts doing is secreting that to cover the irritation. And so as he covers it, and the longer that this irritation happens, and the longer that it stays inside this oyster, the bigger that pearl gets. So that pearl starts out as an irritant. I'm going to hit you with something really good here in a second. So, over a period of 7 to 10 years or even longer, a pearl is created. And the longer the time, the bigger the pearl. But here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is the oyster. And we're an irritant. We'll let God be the oyster. Since we'll let Him, because Jesus... mankind has been an irritant ever since Adam and Eve did what they did. So God had to do something. So He sent His Son so we could have some nucre that could just wrap around. Those times where you feel like you're just all that and you just can't handle it, baby, your pearl's getting bigger. But let me tell you this final thing, and I'll show you a thing I wrote. Let me see if I have it here. I want to say it correctly. Yeah. The only way that a pearl gets to be a pearl and come out is for the oyster to die. The oyster can't spit the pearl out. Do you hear me? The oyster has to die so that the pearl can have great price. So I actually wrote this little ditty here. So Jesus, the oyster, takes in the aggravating piece of sand, us, and wraps it in His nacre, which is blood. And the longer we stay in Him, the more beautiful we become, and what was an irritant becomes something of great value by staying in the oyster. So the value that we see in us is kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Really, this value that Jesus sees in me is totally unacceptable to me. And here's the truth. You'll never believe He values you until you believe His love for you. Here's a good scripture, one of my faves. God showed us how much He loved us. by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And this is what real love is. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Not that we love him, but that he... I was always got that back. But you know what's really interesting, though, and kind of bizarre? And I'll leave with this last illustration in my brain. Gay and I lived in Waxahachie 100 years ago. And, well, it's almost. And had a story that happened there. There was a dysfunctional family, and the stepdad was going to kill the mom and had a little 9-year-old daughter. Anyway, mom grabs daughter and takes off in the car. Stepdad chases him down, stops, kills the mom right in front of the daughter. And they get to the police station. The little girl, she's obviously the little girl's quiet. She's traumatized and all that. But they asked her, because she seemed really pretty good. So they asked her, how did you handle that so well? And she said, I just kept singing this song over and over and over. And it's the song I want to share with you today that has stuck with all of us for years, and we don't really know why, but it's the truth of it. And it's, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yeah. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. I know sign language. Yes, Jesus loves me. Is that correct? Yes, Jesus loves me. Don't know the rest of it. For the Bible tells me so. And I know this means yay, so I know how to do that. Isn't it funny how that song has stuck with us for years and years and years? And it never gets old. It's not the tune. It's the truth of it. Jesus loves me deep down inside, this I know. Because why? Because the Bible tells me so. Oh, my goodness. Over and over. If you've been here for very long, you've heard it. Over and over and over and over. The depth of his love for us. It's stupid of him. I mean, it's scandalous. It is. It's makes absolutely no sense on paper. I could never be that, which is why I'm not him. But Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, Jesus said, come to me as a child. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he's strong. Man, admit your weakness, and his strength is there. Really and truly. When we think we're all that in a bag of chips, we're not. We really aren't. Anyway, I'm finished. Sister Van Zant.
It's a good word.
Thank you.
You know that nacre, it's N-A-C-R-E, is what that fluid is called that forms that pearl from the irritant. That is a part of the shell that is released back. And the actual definition of that comes from the word mantle. The mantle is released to cover the irritant. Do you know that when Elijah's cloak, they looked at the cloak, the covering the shell, and they call that the mantle, where the anointing was. I believe that there's an anointing that we have access to that will release what we need from the mantle of God to cover and to produce life. But the very thing that you think's an irritant, this is what I find interesting. The very thing that you and I resent and find an irritant is the thing that the merchant is looking for.
It's making you beautiful, yep.
And here's the beauty to me of the whole story. My dad was a merchant. My dad never went out pursuing to shows where they would try to sell him stuff or do stuff. My dad never went there without a bankroll and a checkbook. And I want you to know, when my dad went there, he was prepared. And I want to tell you something. When Jesus comes after you, he's already got the cost ready to pay. You're not on a layaway plan. You with me? You're not on a pay-it-out plan. You're not something that he goes in debt for because he paid the price, so I don't have to go in debt. And what he redeems is your irritant. Who needs an irritant redeemed today? Who needs the mantle of God that lies within you to be produced over these things that are causing you pain? Who needs that today? Stand up. I see you raising hands. Just go ahead and stand up. I'm proclaiming over you today who are standing. I'm proclaiming over those who are believing with me today. This irritation is going to have great price in my life. This is going to produce life from the mantle and the anointing of God over my life. Can you just lift your hand and say amen? God, this is going to produce something out of my life because you have paid the price, and the value will come forth regardless of what I see, regardless of what I feel, because that is the working of faith in my life, regardless of what I see or I feel. And according to Romans 5, 3, and 4, I proclaim this over you. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance, and patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. I want to tell you something. You're not going to hate somebody into submission. You're not going to criticize people into changing, and you're not going to be right and get your way. We're going to submit to the Spirit of God. We're going to trust Him. We're going to believe Him. That mantle is going to ooze over it, and something of value is coming forth. Are you ready for that? Lift your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive life from the anointing of God that will coat, cover, and produce from a life-giving position what I need in my life. And I thank you, God, that you came here today with the payment already done. I thank you, God, and I receive that. I receive the blood-bought life of Jesus Christ. I don't want, God, to deal in the shadows. I don't want to walk in fear, God. I don't want to think, what about tomorrow? I stand in today and say, God, you're amazing, you're mighty, and this will yield to you. And I praise you right now, God. Let the love you've given me flow out. Let the battle be won the way you want it, with love for us. And I thank you for that, Father. I look forward to the testimony of victory, because that's how we're going to overcome. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And those in agreement said, amen. Ooh. Now, I just want to share a couple things with you. One, I do believe you're going to see some amazing things. I really do. Because we're not just hearing, we're understanding, so we can apply it, right? Two, I talked to you about life support. I want to start that probably in February. I'm going to put it, hopefully get it out in the city mailer. But it's to teach other people, the community, to come for us for classes. And I want to thank Lindy Hall, who let me know that she's working on getting her Master Gardeners licensing, and she's willing to teach that here. I'm hoping maybe Jan is going to teach some health things. I want you to know that Cassie Rainey, who was trained in interpretation, has told me that she's going to teach a beginner sign language class. Look at who you are and the talents. Let's use